Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest, and today our guest is going to be Bill Sardi, and we're going to be talking about some of the information that's coming out on heart and heart disease and heart attacks, and we're getting so much faulty information, and you've got to learn how to take care of your health and your heart. Now, Bill Sardi is a health journalist, and he does a phenomenal amount of research and study on the background of so many of the health issues, and you will really learn so much by going to his website, and it's knowledgeofhealth.com. That's knowledgeofhealth.com, or ask Bill Sardi, SARDI.com. And when you go to those websites, you will learn a lot more than your doctor knows. And it's not that your doctor isn't smart. It's that so much of the scientific material is not presented to the doctors. Why? Because the drug companies want them to use their drugs. And if you were to use very, very simple and inexpensive means to control and protect your health and the health of your family, the profits would go down from the drug companies. If you think that sounds like an absurd statement to make, let me suggest you get a book we carry called The Truth About the Drug Companies by Dr. Marshall Angel, who for many years was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, the most prestigious health journal in the United States. And certainly this is the major medical magazine, one we always look to for reliable information. Her book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, she's on the staff at Harvard. She told the truth about the drug companies, and you'll never look at your pharmacies in the same way again. Not that there aren't some medicines that are good, but so many of them are harmful. So many of them have very questionable results. And when you really analyze what these results are, you realize that figures don't lie, but liars can certainly figure. And they can take a 4/10 of a percent difference between mortality between two groups and suddenly make it a 20% difference. And if you don't take this medicine, you're going to die. Bill, thank you so much for being with us. And would you explain to our listeners what they've done and how they've deceived us?
Well, certainly the word cholesterol is ingrained in Americans. We're phobic about cholesterol. And there's been a major campaign over a couple of decades since the introduction of statin drugs. And we need to go way back to the first statin drug, Mevacor, which lowered a cholesterol number by being a toxic, liver-toxic drug, and therefore causing the liver to make less cholesterol. But it lowered a number. It never lowered the mortality rate. But the FDA allowed them to market the drug. No more lives were saved.
And of course, if you look at the, and we actually offer people the package insert from Crestor. Remember the blue spiral blue staircase? And it says right in there, this doesn't influence cardiac morbidity or mortality, says it in small print. And most people don't understand what they're saying because they use the big words. What they should have said is it doesn't improve cardiac health or cardiac mortality, in other words, dying from heart disease. Same number of people are going to die, but, boy, you're going to have a lower number.
Well, this number is a wonderful way to market something because people then think they're healthier because the number's moving up and down. And now they've got Americans just driving this number further down and further down. Only 18% of the users of statin drugs ever reach these numbers in the first place. But if you ever did, you'd be increasing your risk of cancer and mental problems.
And, of course, the cholesterol is absolutely essential for health. It's essential for your muscular health. It's essential for your brain. And so many of you people get on these statin drugs will begin to get depressed and have difficulty actually thinking. Sometimes they even think they have dementia. But, boy, they sure got great numbers. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bill Sardi, who's a personal friend, and Bill actually is a health journalist, and he researches and writes and has some wonderful articles up on the Internet, and you can get them at AskBillSardi.com. That's AskBillSardi.com or at KnowledgeOfHealth.com. And this afternoon we're going to be talking about the statin scam. Statin drugs poison your liver and lower your cholesterol levels. But is that actually going to mean that you're going to live longer and you're going to live healthier? What do the figures really show? Well, they show that the statin drugs lower the level of the cholesterol. Of course it does. It poisons the liver. But what does it do as far as you're dying of heart disease? Bill pick up the story and explain to them what the average doctor really doesn't know, because he's never really read the scientific literature. He's so busy going to meetings sponsored by the drug companies, reading magazines sponsored by the drug companies, listening to the detail salesmen, either men or women, who are sent there by the drug companies to convince the doctor that he should convince you, you've got to take statin drugs or you're going to die if you don't. You've got to take this medication and get the number down. Bill, go ahead.
Well, in this saga, after they couldn't prove that the mortality rates were dropping, then they continued to make stronger and stronger drugs. One of them, Vacol, was taken off the market. It was so liver toxic. And you get calls from people frequently about all the side effects they're in, but the doctors continue to maintain that the benefits far outweigh the risks. We don't know what they're talking about there, because out of 100 users of statin drugs, 3 will avert a heart attack over a 5-year period, but another 97 will not avert any heart attack, and they'll only be at risk for the side effects, which are considerable. I just had someone call me this afternoon. Their brother's in acute pancreatitis, and there's about a 40% increased risk of pancreatitis over not taking a statin drug. So we see these side effects and the muscle kind of aches and pains, which people just believe are arthritis that's accompanying their cholesterol problem. They don't think that they actually have a problem with the medicine, so they don't realize it could be fatal. And so you're losing muscle tissues wasting away, and then you could get caught in the kidneys. You could die of this. So, and so on. But this is what we're told, so it's a whole charade that the FDA allows to occur. And
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist, and we're simply pointing out that the long-term statistics with the use of the statin drugs show that if you are a healthy individual and you have an elevated cholesterol and you take your statin drugs, you're not going to get any benefit from them, but your cholesterol will come down and you'll get lots of other complications. If you've had a serious heart attack, is there any statistical benefit from taking the statin drugs?
Well, I don't know of one, but as we get into this, the British medical journal called The Lancet is trying to tell us that what they did do way back when they were designing these drugs is they realized that they really were trying to copy vitamin D. That actually they knew that vitamin D raises certain levels of good things. I mean, it fights cancer and does a lot of things, but that there were molecules that helped raise vitamin D levels. And if you raised vitamin D, and it seems like all of the alleged health benefits, they believe that statin drugs should be used for cancer and macular degeneration of the eye and all kinds of manner of miracle pill for almost everything. And yet, if you look at all of that and it parallels the health benefits of vitamin D. And way back in the early 1980s, before the first statin drug, they showed that certain kinds of statins raise the level of vitamin D in your body. So that's what they were trying to do, is mimic vitamin D. Now you can just go down to the health food store and get non-toxic vitamin D. It's not toxic to your liver and looks like it's going to parallel any of the alleged health benefits of the statin drugs, but They certainly hid that from us for a couple of decades. Seems to me like the FDA would have known all this. They continued to make stronger and stronger statin drugs, but greater and greater side effects, and then kept hiding them. I was reading a press release today about pancreatitis and statin drugs. Well, the headline said that actually statin drugs lower the risk, but in the body of the story, it actually raised the risk of pancreatitis by 40%. So they twist everything around, whether it's in a news report or actually in some of the scientific reports published in the medical journals. So they hide a lot of this. It's a lot of a sleight of hand. And, of course, now we've got this latest development, which is this blockbuster drug that was going to hit the market. It goes by the name of torcetapib, torcetapib is actually a drug that was going to raise good cholesterol. We've heard about the LDL or the low-density bad cholesterol. Well, they seem to think that people that are healthier seem to have higher HDL or high-density cholesterol levels. So the goal was now is to turn everything around and raise your HDL.
Yeah, but before we were trying to get the cholesterol down. Now we're trying to get the bad cholesterol down and get the good cholesterol up.
That's
and
correct.
So they were going to have this wonderful blockbuster drug, make billions of dollars, because it was going to raise your cholesterol,
cholesterol. But they've never been able to really prove significantly lowering mortality rates. So I put this in the minds of the listeners. I'm only going to take the high-risk group. And in the high-risk group, you have a 2% chance in 5 years of having a heart attack. That's, let's say, 2 people out of 100. Now, if the statin drug lowers that risk by 20%, which it's alleged to do, then that's 0.4, 0.4% reduced risk. So you're taking the 2 and moving them down to about 1.5 over 5 years among 100 people. That's what the statin drug is going to do.
And, of course, that's how they get a 20% reduction. It goes from 2% down to about 1.5%
right.
or 1.6%.
Right. But this is only among the high risk. Most 80, 90% of the people aren't in the high risk group even have a more remote chance of ever having a reduced mortality rate. So they skew these figures, but the admission that they needed to go to a drug that raised good cholesterol was an admission that the other drugs didn't work. And actually, Forbes magazine said it. It's not what's happening in the donut hole. It's what's happening in the donut. That is, it's what's sticking. It's not your circulating cholesterol number. That's just what's passing by. And actually, we want to know what's actually sticking in the arteries, and actually Crestor, this most powerful statin drug recently approved by the FDA, for the first time showed that it slightly lowered the accumulating cholesterol plaque on the side of the artery wall. Now, this is the first time that's been, wait a minute, did I say just the first time? Yeah, all the time you've been taking cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, they've never been inhibiting the buildup of the cholesterol on the wall of the arteries. They slowed it down a little bit, but it was still accumulating. It was on the plus side. Crestor is the first one that's actually making it on the minus side that you're not accumulating it, but again, it's so liver toxic, we're quite concerned. The FDA held the company that makes Crestor off that drug off the market for quite some time because of liver toxicity, and then approved it here, I think, through politics and pressure. But anyway, we're into this new drug that's going to raise HDL cholesterol. It was heralded as a wonder drug. The drug company developing it spent $800 million to develop it. In 2004, New England Journal of Medicine said it raised the good cholesterol by 61%. If you took it twice a day, It raised the good cholesterol by an unheard of 106%. They thought this was going to make them over $20 billion a year. It wasn't due to get approved for a few years, but they were trying to do it before their other cholesterol statin drug. The patent, of course, expires in 2010, Lipitor. And so they were hoping this would replace it, and then suddenly the FDA said, remember, we told you this time we're going to make you prove that there's a lower death rate, not just a lower cholesterol number, or in this case, a higher HDL number. So we want to see that it actually saves lives. Well, it didn't take more than about a month, and the drug company involved in this announced it was abandoning this new HDL-raising drug because it had doubled the death rate, the mortality rate among its users. What an embarrassment. And there are a whole lineup of other drug companies ready to introduce HDL-boosting drugs. So we began to question this whole idea. Is this just an assumption that raising good HDL would be a great idea? Apparently it is. Now, we know that niacin is used to raise HDL cholesterol. It's a little toxic on the liver at times. That's why we limit the dose. And it also can cause flushing and so on. So you take a time-release niacin pill. But when we went back to look at niacin, the largest study with niacin raising HDL cholesterol did not lower mortality rates. So now we really got inquisitive about this and began to wonder in our investigation, is HDL cholesterol just a marker for something else? And we really shouldn't be tampering with it. If we work on something else, then maybe the HDL cholesterol number will move by itself. So we went to go look at recent research, and this is very recent, just in November of this year, shows that it's a marker of calcifications. And it apparently looks like it's not cholesterol, but it's calcifications in the artery walls that's causing your cardiovascular disease. And on top of this, in an eloquent research announced, it apparently just a very, very minor calcium plaque. This is infinitesimally small, just microns in size, is what causes the rupture of the little fibrous plaque on your artery, and then that causes the blood clot, and then, of course, you haven't got circulation into the heart on one of those coronary arteries, or two of them, or three of them, and you've got a full-blown heart attack going. It's a very small number of very elderly patients who would have a cholesterol plaque. Apparently, most of these heart attacks, and more than, we have over 1 million heart attacks a year in the United States, and over 500,000 of them are caused among people who have a low to normal cholesterol. So the cholesterol theory isn't holding up. It never did hold up. It never was. But you can't get an American to think otherwise. I wrote a whole book. It's online, How to Get Over Your Cholesterol Phobia. And because little reports don't convince people, we try to make quite a few pages to convince people of all this. And when they're finished reading it, they email me and say, okay, Bill, how do I get my cholesterol number down? I mean, after spending a whole book full of information, try to tell them, it's a worthless endeavor that has never helped the health of any human being, other than just being toxic to the liver. And so, you know, you have to have your liver tested from now and then, so to make sure that the statin drug isn't causing elevated liver enzymes, which means you're very sick. And so you're going to ask, well, how do I prevent those calcifications? Magnesium, a simple mineral. We don't get enough of it. We got about 500 milligrams in our diet 100 years ago. Today we get maybe 250 to 350 milligrams, so we're way down. Cut in half. We have on our website the documentation of all this. And then foods that are rich in magnesium, but you may need to take a supplement because it's kind of hard to do unless you're eating a cup of buckwheat flour or a whole cup of oat bran or a few ounces of almonds and so on. Even then, you'd need quite a few. So it's kind of hard to do. So maybe some magnesium supplements would be called for.
All right, fine. Of course, magnesium is intricately involved with calcium metabolism. And when you begin to understand that and begin to think, you know, from a physiological point of view, it makes a lot of sense. They're trying to get the high density, the lipoproteins up, without any evidence at all it's going to help. But, you know, you got a number, you look at the number, isn't that great? The high density lipoproteins, cholesterol is up, but of course it doesn't help you. let's find out what it's really all about. Well, Bill, pick the story up there. You were just saying that, of course, magnesium really was beneficial. So pick the story up.
Well, we do know that if you're magnesium deficient, you're prone to blood clots, which, of course, that sets you up for a heart attack. And we do know that once you've had a heart attack, they start putting you on blood thinners and telling you to stay away from vitamin K, which is a blood clotting vitamin. But vitamin K also prevents calcification. So what they've done is they've put you on a regimen where you're avoiding vitamin K-rich foods. Now, these are your green leafy vegetables and your spinach and broccoli and romaine and cabbage.
And that's where you get your magnesium.
Your vitamin, where you get your magnesium as well.
Right.
And these vitamin K-rich foods, which are going to prevent the calcifications from forming, they're now telling you to stay away from them, so that you're just living on a tightrope. You're living on the edge of a blood clot from occurring, and then trying to take this blood thinner, which may overthin your blood clots, hemorrhaging in the brain. It's very hard to work with, and they're making you deficient in an essential vitamin. Vitamin K is absolutely necessary for bones, for lots of other reasons. And so they're making you live on the precipice of bad health while they allow this calcification to occur, which then would cause the blood clot, but then they give you the blood thinner to prevent it. So you're really living on the edge of a cliff here, and this is where you're at. And, of course, we're very concerned about people on blood-thinning drugs because they're told to stay away from the vitamin K-rich foods. So all of this is kind of in our little report at Knowledge of Health, the good and the bad cholesterol, or is it cholesterol at all? And, of course, they've developed a calcium score. Maybe that's more important. You should ask your doctor about it. It's called the Agatston score, A-G-A-T-S-T-O-N. But rather interesting when they did a study of people's calcium artery score. And there's four levels of numbers you can have. And, of course, over 400 is the highest number. And they found that, boy, if you had an over 400 Agatston calcium score, you were real likely to have a heart attack and cardiac death within 2 to 5 years of having the test. And if your Agatston score was over 1,000, you had a 20% chance of having a sudden death heart attack inside of 1 year. So these are the kind of things that we now know. This looks fairly reliable, much more reliable than the cholesterol theory. And certainly coronary calcifications were detected in 95% of patients with a first-time heart attack, compared with only 53% of adults who had not experienced a heart attack or any symptoms of angina yet. This is International Journal of Cardiology of this past year. So they're putting all this together, and it looks more like calcifications is the problem than any cholesterol ever was. And we have been on this giant ride in the wrong direction. We've never seen the number of total heart attacks decline. And with so many companies and so many doctors dependent on that continued volume of patients and heart attacks so they can keep their coronary care centers running and their bypass surgeries and their stents, and all these have become markets now, and companies supply goods there on Wall Street, so they don't want the market.
Hold that thought right down there, Bill. Well, Bill is saying, of course, that there are some people who really benefit from the cardiac disease. Now, I don't think the average doctor or the average cardiac surgeon or the average doctor doing cardiology and putting in the stents really wants to see anybody, have heart attacks just because you would benefit from it. But there really are some people in the drug industry and the people who manufacture these other things who benefit from it. And the problem is that this can be handled very, very easily. You don't have to get into all these complicated things, and you don't have to get to a position where you actually start having the blood clots and the blocking of your coronary arteries. But this information, although it's readily available in the medical literature, is not known to the average doctor. It's not known to the average cardiologist. It's not known to the average cardiac surgeon. I do know one cardiac surgeon who actually stumbled on these things, and he cut back about 95% of the surgery he was doing because he wanted to help his patients. But he's certainly a very, very unusual cardiac surgeon because most of them have never heard what you're hearing today. So pick up the story, Bill.
Well, it's very interesting. There's two studies, one done in Germany, and they found out that people who had a heart attack had an average calcium score in their arteries of 529. Versus people who didn't have a heart attack and were healthy, same age, same characteristics, had a calcium score of only 119. Now, the 529 to 119 would tell you, gee, this sounds like calcium more than it does cholesterol. So then investigators in Netherlands examined 924 adult patients and put them through an angiogram. That's that dye test, and they look at the arteries in your heart. And they found that they didn't have any coronary artery disease according to the angiogram. Okay, now they took those same patients and they put them through the calcium test, the Agatston score. And this was quite revealing. And so in a 3-year observation period, the risk for a heart attack was doubled among adults with a high coronary artery score. And the risk for cardiac death was more than doubled among those who had a calcium score of 422 versus a score of 184. But more important, future heart attacks could not be found among any patients who had no coronary artery calcifications. They had zero risk. If you did not have the coronary artery calcifications, you were at no risk for a future heart attack. Now, I think that's compelling. That's a study published in a major medical journal in 2005, totally overlooked. And, of course, you do investigation and homework, like we like to do at Knowledge of Health, to kind of reveal all this to you. But, boy, I'd be reaching for some magnesium pills, and I'd be looking at our list on our website at Knowledge of Health to see which foods are rich in magnesium. And you'll see, you know, generally nuts are almonds and seeds like pumpkin seeds, so on, are fairly rich. But you need 200 or 300 milligrams of extra magnesium. It's kind of hard to get out of food, so sometimes you may want to try.
Well, now, how about vitamin D and vitamin C? Vitamin C, aren't they beneficial?
They certainly are, because vitamin C is important, because if the calcium is the problem, if you keep the lining of the arteries smooth, these are called endothelial cells, the calcium won't stick. And that's exactly what vitamin C does. It supports collagen, and the inside of the arteries is a collagenous material. And these endothelial or smooth cells are continually repaired and kept smooth by vitamin C. So if you keep your vitamin C levels up, the calcium doesn't stick. And this is the whole theory of vitamin C and the collagen theory of heart disease developed by Dr. Linus Pauling. And it seems to be confirmed by the medical literature. There's quite, what we see is low vitamin C intake equates with calcium artery scores that are higher. See, more calcium sticks. That's very, very interesting to see this. So, yes, you'll take vitamin C pills and your doctor will kind of dismiss the whole idea and say, well, it doesn't lower your cholesterol number. No, it doesn't, but it keeps your calcium from sticking to the wall of the arteries. That's the whole thing. But if you're bought into this whole idea that vitamin C didn't lower your cholesterol number, you'll think it's worthless. And this is, of course, what our problem is. So, by the way, fish oil, widely extolled, it also inhibits calcification. So as we look at all these things, it looks more like it's calcifications than it is cholesterol.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with Bill Sarvey as we begin exploring so many of the myths you've been told. And remember, of course, the number may go down, but what are the mortality statistics? And if you look at the mortality statistics, it's an infinitesimal difference between the two groups. They may tell you it's 20 or 30%. But it's really the difference between 2% and maybe 1.6 or 1.5%. And there's some of the other complications. You really want to take a chance. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Bill Sardi. Bill, go ahead, pick the story up.
It's very interesting that men develop calcifications in their arteries about 10 to 15 years earlier than women. Maybe women's estrogen protects them. And then in the majority of men over 55 years old and women over 65 years of age who are without angina or other symptoms, you can see calcifications there, even though they don't have any of this yet. So we know it's coming on, and we know that women are at particular risk because as they lose estrogen, menopause sets in, estrogen sends a signal to hold calcium in our bones, and now they're losing it. That's why women get osteoporosis. They're losing calcium from their bones. Where's it going? Coming out of the bones, going into the arteries, and sticking. And that's why women need vitamin C to keep it from sticking, fish oil to help with this, and certainly magnesium, and maybe even a little bit of a weak plant estrogen to send a signal back to hold the calcium in the bones. It's a good idea for women to take a tablespoon or two of flaxseed meal. It's the crushed flaxseed, so that they get the signal back to hold the calcium in their bones. Flaxseed meal will remedy osteoporosis. It remedies artery disease. It remedies women's depression, mental depression, as menopause sets in. It remedies their, obviously, their hot flashes and so on as they have with the onset of menopause. Guys, if you're listening, even helps gals remain active and interested in bedroom activity as they get in their late 50s and so on. So many things. Keeps women in a great mood. I mean, flaxseed meal. Nature has it. It's a Bible seed. It's what flax is what it was used in the Bible. That's what they made a number of things from flax, flax oil, and so on. So you have the linseed is flaxseed, and of course it's the linseed that then they made the papyrus or like stuff that then they were able to wrap Jesus' body with. So they had flaxseed at the time and flaxseed oil. In fact, it was the eighth most populous plant growing on the surface of the earth at one time were flax seeds, but you don't see as much of it now. But again, it comes from nature and something that particularly women need to put into their diet. Doesn't matter at any age, from age 18 to 88, why flaxseed meal, it's the crushed seed. You can crush it yourself in a coffee grinder, but it's great for...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here, Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi, and he's just been talking about what you can do to prevent cardiac disease and talking about, really, this is a matter of calcification of the arteries, magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin C, fish oils, and the advantage of the flaxseed meal, a tablespoon of flaxseed meal with women that certainly seems to help them, giving a weak estrogen signal after they go through the menopause, so they won't tend to get osteoporosis or depressed. So pick the story up there.
Well, certainly for women in their fertile years, they're on a roller coaster up and down with their hormones. You take a little flaxseed meal. It tends to raise your estrogen level if you need it. If it's too low, it tends to bring it down. If it's too high, so it normalizes it all. And this is what you see in the Japanese women. They don't know what PMS is. They don't know what menopause symptoms are because they're getting weak estrogen molecules from fermented sources of soy. Not soy cereal, hamburgers, milk, not any of that stuff, which hardly has any of the molecules in it, but it has fermented sources, miso, tempeh, these fermented sources, which concentrate these what they call phyto or plant estrogens. But you can get it out of flaxseed meal. It's the easiest and most healthy way of doing something because flaxseed meal has omega-3 oils. It has fiber. It has wonderful other nutrients in it. And, of course, it has these lignans is what they're called, is these weak estrogen-like molecules, about a thousandth the strength of your estrogen. Now, many a doctor will get you to back off of that. It's far safer than the estrogen replacement therapy. But somehow doctors are fearful of something they don't know about and back you away from flaxseed meal. There's many, many hundreds of thousands of women taking flaxseed meal and can attest to how wonderful it is for their health. Guys, if you add a little flaxseed meal to your diet, you'll be helping you retain a good, healthy head of hair. It thickens the hair. Yes, yeah, balding comes on in time. And it certainly does it all without developing any female characteristics. It's too weak to do that. It certainly helps the prostate gland because we do maintain prostate health as we get a little older. So flaxseed meal, wonderful thing for guys, wonderful thing for the ladies. And so I really promote it big time. It's used in our home frequently.
When somebody had called in, they wanted to know if you ate a lot of foods that contain calcium, such as milk and cottage cheese, does this contribute to the calcification of the arteries?
Yes, it sure does. And, of course, you want to, as you're growing, you can get away with high calcium diets because it's all going to make bones. But the calcifications don't start occurring until you are, of course, the growth has finished. So about 30 years after you've fully grown, you're fully grown around age 18, the men are starting to get these calcifications where they've accumulated long enough, and so they're into trouble. The women have donated the calcium to their babies or in other ways holding the calcium in their bones from the estrogen, but then they begin to lose it and they're in trouble. So the whole idea of all of this calcium in the diet is promoted by the dairy industry. We get about 600 to 800 milligrams of calcium in our diet, and that's sufficient. We don't need this 1,200 milligrams a day, as they say, and that was never proven to remedy the osteoporosis that we have. If we are, let me ask the audience, if we're losing the calcium from our bones, how does taking more calcium orally stop you from losing it where your bones are? It doesn't. It just clogs the arteries in between. You're taking some orally, some is coming out of your bones, and that's what you get, and you're clogging your arteries, and you're getting kidney stones, which are calcium stones, and gallbladder stones, which are calcium stones, and you're getting mitral heart valve, which is a calcification of your heart valve. So you're getting all these problems, and the dairy industry loves pushing this idea of calcium, calcium, calcium. In Japan, the women are living very long, and they only get about 400 to 500 milligrams of calcium in their diet a day. They don't get osteoporosis there. So they don't have the broken hips that we do. So, you know, this over-promotion, we have too much of America is governed and controlled and influenced by commercial interests who are able to tell the government health authorities to tell us, as if there's some neutral third party, of what we should be doing for our health. Take statin drugs. Take more calcium. You're just aiding and abetting the whole problem. Let's keep lots of millions of Americans sick so we keep the market for these drugs and devices and all these things going. And Americans keep falling for it and coming back for more. We still have over 1 million heart attacks a year. All this statin drugs being used by millions of Americans. All these healthy things being done. All of us trying to eat foods and lower our cholesterol level. And the same number of people still having the heart attack. So, you know, we need to really rethink this. Are we being sold a bill of goods here? It sure looks like it, and it looks like it's not cholesterol. The convincing evidence is more that it's calcifications. If you're running down to the health food store, you want to buy some magnesium, and the drugstore has it also. Unfortunately, 80% of the magnesium pills that are sold are magnesium oxide, only 4% of it gets absorbed. You won't get any health benefits. Now, you need, there are other forms, citrate and glycinate and malate. There are other forms. Just don't get the oxide, and those forms will be good. If you take a little bit too much magnesium, it's like a milk of magnesia. It could make your stools loose a little bit. Just back off the dose, but don't be afraid of it. And by the way, if you're one of those people with recurrent migraines, you'll find it wonderful. If you're one of those people with insomnia, you'll find it help put you to sleep. If you're having muscle cramps, you'll find out that magnesium is a natural muscle relaxant. There's so many wonderful health benefits to magnesium. So prevents blood clots. So, you know, in so many ways, and we've got how many Americans deficient in magnesium? 100%. How many their calcium-magnesium ratio is all wrong. And they need more magnesium. And so immediately you walk into a health food store and try to buy some magnesium, they're going to try and sell it to you with calcium. That's a not. Try to get yourself just the magnesium. There's some good forms around, and 200 to 400 milligrams a day, it'll make a tremendous difference in your body. By the way, some people report tremendous energy when taking magnesium supplements. Isn't that interesting? Magnesium is needed to make cellular energy called ATP. A lot of people in chronic fatigue find out, wow, all of a sudden I've got a real boost of energy. So that a lot, about 300 enzymes in the body are made from magnesium. Wouldn't that be interesting? Maybe we're not making our enzymes properly. So it was Mildred Seelig, a real expert in minerals, who once said, if you wanted to make a woman really anxious and depressed and sick, you would give her estrogen replacement therapy and lots of calcium. And that's what you would do. So, you know, magnesium, go the other way. Most of us are magnesium deficient, and that's what we need. It would greatly benefit our health. You're hearing this for the first time. I hope I tell it to you a million times like they've drilled it into your head on cholesterol, and then maybe you'll finally wake up. Because this kind of new information, Dr. Stan, tends to paralyze people. They don't know what to do with it.
Well, of course, they've been told so many things are so good. In fact, they have probably the finest advertisements on television are put out those by the milk board, but they're not telling you that milk really isn't good for you. I used to drink milk all the time until we began looking at the relationship between drinking milk and drinking regularly as you get older and prostate cancer. Is there any relationship between the two?
There is, and of course we see Crohn's disease related to milk drinking, and there's a bad bacterium in the milk. 2.5% of the milk, there's a little bacterium escaping the pasteurization. And so if you're drinking milk today, you have a good chance of getting Crohn's disease or colitis, lifelong diarrhea, and worse from drinking milk. It's contaminated today. They're not telling you because they're trying to protect the dairy industry. And when will they take the statin drugs off the market? We have a report on our website trying to tell you won't be any time soon, and probably not till the drugs, statin drugs, their patents expire. That's what they did with the various antacid drugs, Zantac. They used to say that stomach ulcers were caused by stomach acid, stress ulcers, and then, of course, it was really caused by a bacterium. But they never fixed that and let the Zantac be sold till its patent ran out. Then they told everybody that it wasn't stomach acid that caused ulcers. It was a bacterium, and you better take antibiotics. But I expect the same kind of shenanigans from the FDA. This time they're going to cover for the drug companies, and we're going to be taking statin drugs for a few more years until all these patents wear out. And then they'll tell us heart disease is caused by something else. So it's just the way these commercial influence is in our country these days. Buyer beware. I know the doctor's going to look you straight in the eye and tell you, if you don't take this statin drug, you could die of a sudden death heart attack. Well, it's totally untrue. And so I don't know how to say it any other
way. You've really got to actually read the package insert and see what it says. Your doctor has never read the package insert. We'll be glad to send any of you the insert that comes with Crestor. Remember the fellow going down the spiral blue staircase? And we've certainly outlined where it just says, does not affect cardiac morbidity or mortality. In other words, you can take this and it's not going to help you not die of a heart attack. If you're going to die of a heart attack, you're going to die of a heart attack. And Crestor isn't going to influence it one way or the other, but you've got to get that cholesterol level down because, of course, that's the key to everything. Or is it? Have we been lied to here as we've been lied to about so many things in medicine? And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to find out if this is really true. And there's lots of information up there on Bill's website. Let's get your information on how they can get your website and get your information, Bill.
Knowledgeofhealth.com, knowledgeofhealth.com. We're not leading you to a little street on the Internet that has its hand out. Everything there is free. There are some books that you can learn about there that we've written for the people who like to read books. But we try to give it all away, and we hope that it's useful to you and your family, your loved ones, and important information that you certainly need to have, and we love to deliver it to you. And knowing that you're a good supporter of Radio Liberty, why we give it to you with our goodwill, of course, knowing that we all love Radio Liberty and it's making it possible for us to get this information.
Well, we just hope everyone out there listening audience will say, well, I don't believe this, but I'm going to check it out. And if you do go into Bill's articles, you'll find that there are references to articles in the medical literature, and you can look those up in PubMed and read them. Find out if it's really true, because you are responsible for your health, and you are responsible for your family's health, and specifically for your children's health. And there really is so much we're doing to our children that is really harmful for them. Well, was there any other issue you wanted to talk about today, Bill?
Well, certainly we did want to mention that one report that we did see in the news wires about Herceptin. And I know you had even commented to me before the program today. And that's the drug they use for breast cancer. The big headline today is Herceptin does cut cancer deaths. You look down on the body copy of the story, one out of 55 women benefit from taking Herceptin. What a terrible deception.
One out of 55 women. And, of course, how much longer do they live as a result of this?
Just a few months, and it costs $40,000 a year. I mean, this is just a giant deception. I mean, it's just terrible what they're doing. And then they run these news reports. And who are the reporters who have the gall to write these headlines and twist it all so it makes it sound like it's a wonder drug? 54 out of 55 women taking it will not get any benefit. The one woman who does is going to live slightly longer at $40,000 a year.
But $40,000, of course, for all of these women, all
that's
55,
right,
are putting out $40,000 a
that's
year,
right,
and only one's going to benefit from
that's
it.
Right.
That's
right.
So incredible.
That's right. It's right here in the newsprint. If you want to look it up in today's news stories, you'll see it. And just another outrage, but this is the kind of information they give us, and they twist the headlines because that's all that people read, and that's what you get.
And in fact, there was not too long ago, there was a new drug for cancer, the colon. And it was wonderful, you know. Now we found a solution, and I think the average person lived by 2 or 3 months more than they would have lived otherwise. At some, and it was even more expensive than the $40,000 a year you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the average individual really doesn't know it, especially if they have insurance that's paying most of it. Why, they're grasping at straws. There are lots of things that can be done for your cancer, but you're not going to hear about them, and you're not going to hear about it because your doctor doesn't know about it. And he doesn't know about it because the drug companies would far rather you were taking their medicine at $40,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 a year than doing something really very simple that might very well make you much more comfortable. You would not be having your hair fall out. You would not be getting intense diarrhea. You would not be getting all the complications that many times the treatments give it and do very little to prolong the lifespan of so many of the patients.
Well, certainly I hope we've caused some eyebrows to get raised and some people to rethink. And hopefully we'll get some people to back away from these problematic drugs. Think about some natural things and save your money.
And not only that, but of course, a pound of prevention is worth a pound of, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And of course, this is what you really want to do. You want to learn how to maintain your health. And it really has so much to do with just good diet. And there are a few things you may need supplements for, but doesn't diet play such a large part in this?
It really does. And then, of course, as aging comes on, we may need the dietary supplements because we can't do everything with just good food. But we got to start with a good diet. And we're learning more and more what a good diet is. It's low in calcium and low in iron. That's exactly what the Japanese diet is. We'll come back someday and talk about all this.
Oh, I know somebody wanted to know if you should take magnesium with potassium.
It's fine. You can take it with potassium, and potassium's helpful. There's a lot of potassium in our diet. Our problem is we get a lot more sodium than potassium, so it helps us to look for a little bit more potassium. It's in bananas and potatoes, apricots, things like that. So try to get that potassium-sodium also balanced, just like you get calcium and magnesium balanced.
Well, our guest this afternoon has been Bill Sardi, And, of course, you can go to his website at AskBillSardi.com. That's AskBillSardi, S-A-R-D-I.com, or KnowledgeOfHealth.com. You'll be fascinated by the information, but I do hope that you will, as I have, challenge it all. I mean, get the articles, find out if it's really true. And if it's really true, ask yourself, how could so much faulty information being put out? Is it possible that there's some people out there who believe there are too many people in the world, and that we'd be better off if people didn't live so long and in a healthy manner? As I see some of the doctors that I practice with, now with Alzheimer's disease, barely able to look after themselves, and you almost want to weep, especially when you realize that so much of this is totally unnecessary, and the cancers and so many of the other degenerative diseases we see. Well, we'll be back in just a minute to wrap up today's program. Well, Bill, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
I think the real outrage is for Americans to see how and get a picture of the inside of modern medicine behind the curtains and see how the FDA is in league with the drug companies to keep this truth away from people. And it goes right to the National Institutes of Health. It goes to the Food and Nutrition Board. Just imagine that we were fortifying our diets with more magnesium. And it was by law had to be in the foods and the flours and the things that we make. We'd be living longer and healthier. We could eliminate this. But they're actually mongering. This is called disease mongering. They're allowing all this to occur to keep the medicine business churning. They know what they're doing. We can see this from the viewpoint that we look at it. We petitioned the FDA for changes in the amount of vitamin C that they allow in the diet and so on, and recommendations. And certainly for vitamin D, we could lower the risk of cancer by 30 to 50%. There's no drug that could possibly do that with more vitamin D. The Food and Nutrition Board doing nothing while this evidence keeps mounting. It was in Newsweek magazine a couple of weeks ago. It's getting widespread play. You can go to the vitamindcouncil.com website to read all about it. Nothing is happening. Our government is in league with drug companies. We're just the pawns on the board here, and they're mongering for disease. The more people that are sick, the more medicine that gets delivered, the more money they make. It sounds terrible, but it's true.
Well, I think when our listeners get hold of Dr. Marcia Angel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, Harvard Medical School editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, until she had the audacity to speak out and tell the truth about the drug companies, I think that every American should read it and then weep. And then go to his doctor and say, why are you going along with this? And the doctors really don't know. You've got to get educated, and you've got to educate your doctor. He might not like it initially. I know I didn't like it when people came to me and told me these things, but after a while you begin to listen, and gee, maybe they know something I don't, because I don't have the time to read all of this literature that Bill Sardi has at researched. You can get the information. You can go to his website, knowledgeofhealth.com, AskBillSardi.com. Check it and find out if it's true. Because, of course, you are responsible for your health. And, of course, once you have a cancer, why, of course, it may well be too late. Bill, thanks very much for being with us again. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we hope that you want to get some of the material we've been talking about. We carry Marcia Engel's book, The Truth About the Drug Companies. We carry a book, small little inexpensive book on the statin drugs. We have a 4-tape set on the statin drugs. And then we carry Russell Blaylock's wonderful book on health and nutrition secrets that can save your life. Dr. Blaylock's been a friend of mine for 20 or more years, retired neurosurgeon, and certainly one of the outstanding speakers we have. We carry a DVD he has, Nutrition and Behavior. Nutrition and Behavior. You'd be amazed at the impact of nutrition on criminal activity, on schizophrenia, on drug and alcohol abuse. You want to get his DVD on nutrition and behavior. We carry his book on the natural strategies for cancer patients. I mean, you know the people, they're going to go in, they're going to get their chemotherapy, and what happens? One treatment, their hair falls out. The second treatment, they get intensely ill. You need to read his book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And then, of course, we carry a book called The Miracle of Magnesium. And you need to understand that it used to be 50 years ago we got plenty of magnesium in our diets. We don't today any more than we used to get iodine in our diets, and they'd taken out of all the things that they're added. Why would they do something like that and add fluoride to our drinking water? And they're not even adding fluoride. They're adding hydrofluorosilicic acid, which increases your blood level of lead. Your blood level of lead and in black 6 times increase. Why would they do something like that? Don't they know what they're doing? And I'd like to suggest they really do. And then, of course, we have a book called Death by RX, Death by RX. All of these things and so much more is available. That a website at radioliberty.com. But if you'd like to order any of the things we've mentioned, the truth about the drug companies, the miracle of magnesium, health and nutrition secrets that can save your life, statin drugs, the book, or the 4-tape set, or down the line, the other things we've talked about, Death by RX by Dr. Richard Strand. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like our health catalog, we'd be glad to send you one. If you'd like to get our catalog on, of course, on the food storage, and if you're not making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, you certainly should be making those preparations. We'll send you either the health catalog or a regular catalog or the food catalog. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you do not have a water filter to take the fluoride out of your water or to take the impurities, let me suggest we do carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. And if you get them through us, why, we'll give you a video or a 4-tape set if it's something that we have produced. You need to get access to the information now. How can we make any sense of what we've said today? And you make sense out of it by understanding that there are powerful, evil forces in the world. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the DVD or the VH, or the video that goes with it. You can actually see it on the Internet free of charge if you want to sit there and watch the Internet screen. Just Google in Brotherhood of Darkness. Hope then you'll want to read the book and get the documentation. Find out if what we're really telling you is true. Because if it is true, then we're going to lose America, and millions of Americans are going to die. Did you ever wonder why for so many years they allowed, you know, tobacco to be utilized, encouraged tobacco to be utilized here in America? When I went to medical school, cancer of the lung in women was almost as rare as hen's teeth. But because of an organized campaign was fostered on our people by the tobacco companies, today the second most common cancer in women is cancer of the lung, directly attributable to tobacco. Was anybody in the tobacco companies who knew they were killing our people ever tried for murder? Not one of them. They lied before Congress. Was anybody punished for lying before Congress? I wonder why not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, understand, you need to get my 4-tape set on population control or planned population reduction. Understand we're up against organized evil, and pray for America, pray for revival. And please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so, until Monday, may the Lord be with you.